guys. This is Jill, and welcome back to the Sports Ethos Kings podcast. All right, trade deadline has come and passed while the Kings added Kessler Edwards. Now, if you follow me on Twitter, then you know I am a Kessler Edwards fan. I know it's not the big move that people, you know, dreamed of or were expecting, but he was a draft crush of mine for the second round for the Kings, which ultimately they ended up taking Kata, which was still, you know, still happy with that. But Edwards was on my list for that as a 3-and-D prospect. He's still young. I do think that those are still the kind of flyers that you should be taking at this point, as if you can, you know, land someone that didn't have the opportunity or wasn't previously developed in another situation. There could be opportunity here. So, you know, if it ends up being something great, if not, I love every dart throw when it comes to a 3-and-D prospect. And it didn't cost him anything while gaining a relationship with the Nets front office. So I know, at least based on, you know, what I'm reading on social, people aren't totally happy with standing pat. I know things went crazy over the deadline. You know, it was supposed to be a quiet deadline, and then the Nets kind of threw a grenade and blew everything up. But you know, you just never know. So what our buddy Kevin Phippen did was he broke down for the last 28 games. Now, for the Kings to get 45 wins this season would need to finish the rest of the season going 500. That would be 14 wins and 14 losses. Now, if they want to finish in the top six, as you know, they're third currently, to be leapfrogged, and this is just if the Kings go 500 for the rest of the season, this is what the teams below them would need to do to leapfrog them. So the seventh seed would need to go 17-9. That's the New Orleans Pelicans. The eighth seed would need to go 15-9. That's the Minnesota Timberwolves. The ninth seed would need to go 17-10. That's the Golden State Warriors. The 10th seed would need to go 18-9. That's the Portland Trail Blazers. And the 13th seed would need to go 21-6. And that's the LA Lakers. So you can see I skipped, you know, 11 and 12 just because the common thought is those teams are not going to be going for anything and they're going to be at least trying to tank. So we'll start off with the Kings and the 28 games they have left. And this is, again, we're hoping they go 500, which has been a theme, right? They're 8 games over 500 right now. Can they finish the season at 14-14? Now, I haven't confirmed this, but I know Carmichael Dave at least said earlier, I'm not sure what site he used, but it was projecting that the Kings would have the third hardest schedule to end the season. We will see. Who knows? We also had that at the beginning of the year and they played well. It's fluctuated, right? And so you just never know between injuries and everything else. You don't know what's going to happen with any team you're playing at any given time, right? Or your team yourself. So this is what, these are the games that the Kings have remaining, the number of games remaining against the top 10 in the West currently. They have 3 games against the Mavs, 3 games against the Suns, 3 games against the Blazers, 2 against the Clippers, 2 against the Wolves, 2 against the Pelicans, 1 against the Warriors, 1 against the Nuggets. They play the Thunder twice, the Knicks once, the Bucks one more time, Bulls one more time, Nets one more time, Wizards one more time, Jazz twice, Celtics once, and then the Spurs. I know that sounds daunting, right? But the thing is, if the Kings can take care of their own business, it will not matter what these other teams do, right? They're playing the Mavs three times. The Mavs are below them. They're playing the Suns three times. The Suns are below them. They're playing the Blazers three times. Blazers are below them. Clippers twice. They're below them. Wolves twice. They're below them. Pelicans twice. They're below them. Warriors once. They're below them. Nuggets once. They're below them. So just in that alone of, right, of how many times they play in that top 10, take care of your business. It will not matter what any other team below you does. This is what we've been saying. This is what I was saying earlier online. Like, these other teams are doing things, right? Yes, I wish we could have done stuff, but we didn't. So, Beam team, this is what we're at. This is what we have. Take care of your own business, and it literally will not matter, again, what anybody else does below you, because you need all of those teams to do all of that together at the same time to jump you, right? So, Pelicans, right? If we were able to go 14-14, the Pelicans would have to go 17-9. What they did at the deadline was they added Jason Richardson and they lost Devontae Graham. So, but again, their key pieces will be, will they have Brandon Ingram back? Will they have Zion back? And getting Valanciunas back. So they play the Lakers twice. Lakers are below them. They play the Blazers three times. They are below them. They play the Warriors twice. They are below them. They play the Kings twice. We are above them. They play the Mavs once. They are above them. Clippers twice. They are above them. Nuggets once. Wolves once. So again, you can see where I'm saying that the Pelicans can only lose 9 games if the Kings go 500. And just in that list alone, right, those are teams that are all fighting for spots, you know, over each other. They play, I think it's 6 teams. Let me check. They play 6 games of within the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10 seed, because they're the 7th. So they play 6 games. There are 6 games to be played for the Pelicans between those seeds. So again, someone's going to be winning and someone's going to be losing. So if the Kings take care of business, those are like 2-for-1s. So in addition to those games, they also have the Cavs, the Thunder twice, the Raptors, the Knicks twice, the Magic, Rockets twice, Spurs, Hornets. That's not an easy schedule either, right? Minnesota, next. They have to go 15-9. They lost D'Angelo Russell, but they gained Mike Conley and they gained Nickeil Alexander-Walker. I actually like those two pieces better for Minnesota than D'Angelo Russell. But again, we'll see what Minnesota does. Now, what I will say about Minnesota is they probably have one of the nicer schedules to end this season, at least when it comes to playing the top 10 teams in the West. They play the Grizzlies once, the Mavs once, the Warriors twice, the Clippers once, the Lakers twice, Kings twice, Suns once, Blazers once, Pelicans once. Now, and they only have 4 games against the between the 7, 8, 9, 10 seed. So again, where the Pelicans had 6 games, Minnesota only has 4. So that helps them a little bit in their win loss of what they're going to be doing theoretically. Now, the extra games they have: Wizards, Hornets, Sixers, Nets twice, Hawks twice, Celtics, Bulls, Raptors, Knicks, Spurs. Again, they would need to go 15-9 if the Kings went 14-14. Warriors. They would need to go 17-10, and they gained Gary Payton II. And is he healthy? I don't know. He's been very sporadically in and out of the lineup for Portland this season. And then they lost James Wiseman for a bunch of picks. I would assume they are going to be active in the buyout market. Will that make a difference? I don't know. Now, for the Warriors, They play the Lakers 3 times, the Clippers 3 times, the Wolves twice, the Blazers twice, the Pelicans twice, the Grizzlies twice, the Suns once, Mavericks once, Nuggets once, Kings once. Now they're extra games. Wizards, Rockets, Thunder, Bucks, Hawks, Rockets. So they play the Rockets twice, 76ers, Spurs, and the Thunder a second time. Now, the Warriors, similar to the Pelicans, have 6 games between the Warriors and Pels play 2 games together. Warriors and Minnesota have 2 games and Warriors and Portland 2 games. So again, those, you know, 3-4 teams again fighting each other, right? So you're going to have one team win, one team lose. Lakers. Now I added the Lake, or sorry, next will be Portland. Portland would need to go 18-9 if the Kings go 14-14. They lost Josh Hart, they gained Cam Reddish, and they gained Matisse Thybulle. Will that make a difference? I really do not know. They had what they gained, I will say, at least according to listening to their fan base and some of the reporters, what they gained, they didn't really, it didn't sound like those were big needs of the team. That they were looking for a big man replacement, and that didn't happen. And so again, we'll see what happens there. But Lakers once, they played the Kings 3 times, the Warriors twice, the Pelicans 3 times, the Clippers once, the Wolves once, the Grizzlies once, the Clippers once. So they have, similar to the Pelicans, similar to the Warriors, they have 6 games between that 7-10 group. They have 3 games of Portland Pelicans, 1 game of Portland Minnesota, 2 games of Portland Golden State Warriors. Now, their additional games. They play the Thunder twice, the Wizards, the Rockets, the Hawks, the Magic, the Pistons, the Celtics twice, 76ers, the Knicks, the Jazz, the Bulls, and the Spurs. Lakers. If the Kings finish 14-14, the Lakers would need to go 21-6 to leapfrog them. They gained D'Angelo Russell, Beasley, Vando, so sad about that, and Bamba. They lost Juan Toscano-Anderson, Jones, and Thomas Bryant. Now, if I missed any additions or subtractions for any of these teams, sorry, but I know there's still some of these deals aren't finalized yet. And I haven't been able to find a complete comprehensive list yet. And I know there's buyouts and all these kinds of things happening. So bear with us, at least, you know, for the day of trade deadline. We'll be getting more information, obviously, as the time goes. But here's their breakdown. They play the Warriors 3 times, the Blazers once, the Pelicans twice, the Mavs twice, the Grizzlies twice, the Wolves twice, the Suns twice, the Clippers once. Then they have the Bucks, the Thunder twice, the Raptors, Knicks, Rockets twice, Magic, Bulls twice, Jazz twice. Now, with the Lakers, as always, right? Their additions, great. They got younger. Their role players got better. No doubt. Where if they make it to the playoffs, that's a hard team. But as always, it's only going to matter if you have one LeBron James, right? And if you have one Anthony Davis. Now, that's something they have struggled with this season. And why, you know, partly why they're in the position they're in now, too. So, can they stay healthy, right? And that's the big question with all of these teams, right? Can the Lakers stay healthy with their stars? Portland, they lost Dame for a while. Can he stay healthy and can their role players step up? Warriors, right? They've been injury plagued again, and we know Curry's out for a couple weeks. Will it be too much that, you know, that they'll fall too back far in the race? Minnesota, we've had, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns out. They've had some, you know, dysfunction internally. Again, I do think Conley's going to be better. It's can they figure it out? Because they're, I will say, out of anybody, their schedule is, to me, is probably the best out of anybody. Pelicans, right? They were really hot to start the season, and then they dropped because, right, they lost Zion, they lost Brandon Ingram. And like I mentioned before, well, they have Valanciunas back. Again, health is going to be, you know, the big question mark, you know, and that's the thing with the Kings too. I mean, it's just for most of these teams, you lose any of your, you know, top two guys of your roster, you know, or top three, four for some of these teams. It's hard to win. The talent right now is too spread that any given night, anybody can win. And when you're shorthanded, you know, it's even worse. So again, I just kind of wanted to do a little breakdown. And my main focus was the Kings have done what they needed to do to get to the position where they are, right? Going into the season, we were talking, you know, right, play-ins, hoping for eight, like, you know, what can we do? And I know that's kind of why people were, you know, even more upset today of why no trades were completed. But, you know, as always, I know we hate hearing it. It takes two to tango, right? And there's also situations where, you know, you have comparable deals to what else is being offered. And, you know, it could be a player says, I would rather go here, team. You know, hey, GM, do me a solid and send me here over here because I feel like I'm going to fit that team in that role better. They're going to do their guy a solid more times than not because it is very much a relationship-based league between GMs, agents, players, all of that. You know what? And the Kings are still, you know, they're in year one of trying to revamp their reputation, right? And so, you know, we have a battle to climb unlike a lot of these other teams. And I don't know what it is about the Lakers that, you know, every GM seems to want to bail them out every time they're sucking. But apparently within the last couple of years, that's the fun thing to do. Because what Danny Ainge sent, I mean, that those packages were ridiculous. And then what, you know, what Orlando did and then their buyouts, it's. But again, you know what? I mean, there could have been, again, comparable deals out there, not even just the Kings, but from other suitors, right, that we know were looking for backup bigs because that was the thing. And Bamba could have said, hey, I want to go play with LeBron. I mean, the other guys could have said, hey, I want to go play with LeBron. I want to be a Laker. I mean, again, those things can happen. And I know those are things we don't necessarily think about. And we're just saying, you know, throw out all the second, you know, draft picks to secure it. But I will say this. There were so many mixed emotions last trade deadline with everybody, right? Between Halliburton, Sabonis, all that stuff. A lot of people had doubts. And the team didn't necessarily finish right great. We had injuries and things like that. But Monty, right, redeemed himself and everybody's eyes in the offseason and what he was able to build with this team now. And, you know, I guess there's something to be said too for this team is the team that got you here. Their chemistry is great. They have the beam team. If, you know, give them a shot to do it. And you know what? And I, you know, we really do think that it's like that this core six of this group, we're going to really find out about the core six of this group as we end this season, right? I mean, and that's, you know, going forward, just as important for Monty and Mike, you know, as they're trying to build this group. I know for a fact that they were out there making, that they were talking with multiple teams today trying to make moves. So it wasn't anything of that they didn't think there were moves to be made. It's just, unfortunately, we're never privy to all the details, right, of those phone calls. You know, and as like James Hamm said on the radio today, that Monty was on the phone with the Sixers, you know, up until a half hour, you know, before the Thybulle trade completed with Portland. So we will never know what happened on the other side of that phone call. And we ended up finding out Daryl Morey ended up combining that deal with the Knicks deal. And maybe that was money-wise, situational-wise, that was worth it to them to go with Portland and do that rather than keeping the Kings, you know, separate. So again, there's just all these nuances that we get tweets, right? And we get rumors, but, you know, we don't get the phone call. So as much as, you know, I want to be mad and disappointed, which I am, I also try and be realistic and that, you know, sometimes generally you can do all you can do and it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And hell, maybe there are other teams that don't want to help the Kings because those teams for years have been just trying to steal any kind of, you know, talent that we had out of this place. And that's been the reality. So again, Kings, if you can keep doing what you're doing and finish this season 500, then we'll be very happy. Very happy come April. So, as always, thanks for listening. And feel how you want to feel. Because it's going to be a wild ride to the finish. But I'm excited to ride, you know, with these guys, keep the Beam team going, keep those vibes going, and see if these guys can make history, right? Like that's, you know, it would be a hell of a story, and it's been a hell of a ride so far for us as, you know, as a fan base, because most people did not think we were going to be here, right? So fingers crossed as always, and go Kings.